Welcome, everybody, to a really great edition of Talking Tigs. LSU opened up the season with a road win versus Clemson, taking down the Tigers in their Death Valley, 17-7. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me, as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. We got that win to go over. Great game. We got the opening game monkey off our back, I think. A lot to break down with how we did it, you know, offense, defense, and other things. Just the environment itself. You know, we had game day, Lee Corso's last one, his last picks, which we can definitely talk about. Man, lots to get into. I hope you guys had a good weekend. It was an extra day, although I feel like this one game that's remaining is just silly at this point because it's UNC and TCU, but it's starting at 8 p.m., which just doesn't make sense to me. We could have watched this at 3 or 4 o'clock or yesterday. You could have started at 10 o'clock yesterday, and I wouldn't have made a peep. Anyway, want to see how you guys are doing. But, yeah, man, ready to wrap it all out with y'all. This was a big win.
Hey, good to be with you. Talk about it. Yeah, huge win. Very excited. I don't necessarily disagree with you about this TCU game playing on a different day, but I feel like this is it's almost like bowl season to start off with. So I was talking to a buddy and he said that he was like, man, we get so many good, like leading into it, like starting from really Thursday till today, so many games, prime time. It's like the bowl. It's like to start off with bowl season. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see new look UNC versus TCU with Sonny Dykes year three. So I can kind of find enjoyment out of any college football. So I'm excited for it, but really excited to be talking about an LSU win.
Exactly. First time in 6 years that we're coming to you with a podcast where LSU was 1-0 to start the season. So that feels really good. Did it in an awesome victory against Clemson, close game, like everybody expected, but the Tigers from Louisiana came out on top, much to the delight of us on the podcast, as well as Tiger Nation everywhere. So excited to break that down, pluses, minuses, and everything else in between, and kind of a wild week one of college football.
It was. There were some upsets, and I mean, LSU was probably 2 to 3 plays away from this going the other way. Even Dabo Swinney said that, and I agree with him. There was, I don't know, you could say 2 to 3 plays or 2 to 3 questionable calls. You know, if there was some more that went against us, who knows? Maybe that just would have killed our momentum in the second half, but that wasn't the case. And it, do they really have the Death Valley? Because They do the running down the hill thing to start the game, and I don't know, it's like they take a bus to get there, and then they run down the hill, which is fine. Everyone's got traditions, right? But like, yeah. Right if you see at the top of the hill, it says Memorial Stadium. I think it says Frank Howard Field, right? Like, because that's who the rock is named after.
Yeah.
And then that's it. We clearly have emblazoned on the outside of Tiger Stadium, welcome to Death Valley. Just wanted to say that. Secondly, did y'all hear them booing as Clemson was coming down the hill?
Yeah, I think it's because Brian Kelly tried to time our run out like exactly the same time as theirs, so they were booing us and they got some confusion, but that was kind of weird.
I saw what he was doing because they were waiting for LSU to come out, and Brian Kelly kept looking at him. He's like, no, hold on, not yet. Wait, we're not going. Okay, oh my God, there goes Dabo. Look at him running down okay, let's go. And they stole their thunder, which I think was hilarious. It seems purposeful, right? Because you could hear them booing, and I could see them with the camera fixated on the players on the hill, but on the left side of the frame, you could see the LSU flag bearers like running down the sideline, and that's where the boos were coming from. Kudos to Brian Kelly for that, if that's what it is. I mean, we still had a slow start, but I love that he was just trying to do anything he could. I would say overall, LSU, I don't know, kind of like the Texas-Ohio State game a little bit, right? At least for the first half, which, you know, we'll get into later, but just very slow developing. Neither team seemed like they wanted to take any real risks earlier on. I mean, I'm a little surprised more with Clemson because they you know, they have the senior quarter, like the guy with all the experience. But I mean, LSU's defense definitely was surprising and looks really good, by the way. And I would say Clemson did benefit early on from some, you know, questionable play calls. I know I feel like they took a touchdown away from Baron Brown for one. There was another couple catches. You know, we had some turnovers from our wide receiver and tight end, which I don't know. Plays were being made. Clemson's a good defense. You know, you got to give it to them. But, you know, that definitely stole some momentum from ourselves. Other than that, LSU did not look like, well, at least to start the game, I thought we looked like all these other season openers. I think the end result, which, you know, again, we're going to talk about later, was we actually had a defense so that they couldn't run up the score while we were still trying to find our groove offensively. I mean, we shut them out in the second half, and we finally got some points. I think that was the main difference. Tommy, what did you see?
Man, I thought it was probably the most complete performance by an LSU team I've seen in 6 years. Very excited, surprised. Obviously, I picked LSU to lose. Not that I wanted them to lose, but that's just the way I saw it. I thought going in, Clemson was going to be a top team, and I think it was a pretty evenly matched game, but LSU had timely plays, very solid, moved the ball well, ran the ball better than I've seen them, you know, run it in over a year. I thought Nussmeier managed the game pretty well, with the exception of, gosh, two terrible timeouts in the first half that I don't know what's going on. They did this last year multiple times, and it really grinds my gears. But other than that, I wouldn't say there were some really severe miscues on the offense or defensive side of the ball. The defense, I mean, we really – the credit to Austin Thomas, Blake Baker, Brian Kelly for their acquisitions of the portal, because this was a relatively new-look defense. A lot of key positions with guys who – this is their first time ever putting on an LSU jersey, and it really worked out. So I'm extremely impressed and super happy.
Yes, I mean, with the amount of talent – future NFL talent, to be sure, on both sides of the field between LSU and Clemson, we knew it was going to be a slugfest, and there was going to be big plays and real make or break moments, which happened top to bottom in this game. Both teams had some good plays and some miscues, but LSU kind of minimized their mistakes while capitalizing on Clemson's, and that was ultimately the difference, along with that really stellar defensive performance, like you said, Tommy. We've had some good defensive games, but this one is like, you got to go back to almost like the Les Miles era, to where you're like, this is a group of guys who are ready to hit, who are ready to make plays, and who are working as a cohesive unit, because we've seen that time and time again over the last few years where we've had a few good defensive players, but just on the back end, there's like huge blown plays, missed assignments, miscommunication, and all that seemed to be locked down for the most part. So a lot of people said Blake Baker was the MVP of the game, and you really have to give it to him for getting these guys ready to go, especially these transfers in the secondary and in the edge rushers. So that was awesome to see, and hopefully we can continue building on that the rest of the season. And then on the offense, yeah, I mean, we only scored 17 points, so we weren't raining on them, but we did have a touchdown called back and another missed field goal. So some opportunities to step up a little bit going forward there. And in a few other kind of weird times, like when we could have kicked a field goal, but we went for it on fourth down and turned into a dud in Clemson's territory. So I don't know if I would say like bad coaching decisions, but definitely room to work on, but you really can't be disappointed with how this worked out for LSU. So get 1-0, big quality non-conference win, and a lot of positive energy to feed off going forward.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And you had your starting quarterback just pumped after the game. I mean, he knew what he just accomplished, and I think Nuss looked great. If you're not on the bus yet, I mean, get tickets while you still can. It's about to leave the station because the guy looked pretty poised back there. He was only like they had that one sack. But other than that, I mean, the offensive line, I think, did pretty good. Speak of new defense, we had a brand new offensive line. I mean, we had guys left over from last year, but they didn't get the start. So hats off to them. I think that's also why our running game looked better. But basically, I think just earlier on, you know, the play calling and then the execution of that, we're just kind of, I don't know, average. Again, I think both teams are trying to be conservative. You could definitely feel like Sloan was, although it didn't help us any. But eventually, you know, he started to loosen things up. We had some end arounds, some other stuff. You could definitely see they were trying to get Bauer Sharp and Tredez Green into the game. And my boy got a touchdown. I think going to the 6'5 tight end on the goal line is just a no-brainer. We'll probably see more of that down the road, but just no, like, bad mistakes. There were a couple, you know, a couple fumbles, but again, those were – even one of those, like, was Bauer Sharp. Was that really even a catch? You know, it's debatable, but that's what they called on the field. And then the touchdown they took away, I just don't see how. Like, what else do you need to make that a touchdown? You know, they had all the elements.
Oh, I know. I mean, even the commentators said the same thing. They brought the rules analyst in to confirm, basically confirm it was a touchdown. The weird thing was, you know, so at the times that play goes on, Nussmeier throw. Well, first of all, like, aside from the call, that's an NFL throw. I mean, yeah. when that – now, it was funny. I was watching the game at home with my parents, and when Nussmeier throws that ball, I immediately said, I don't like this. Because I've never seen Jarrett Nussmeier be able to make that throw. Joe Burrow throws that in 2019. I'm perfectly fine with it. But, I mean, that is an NFL throw between the boundary and a corner. And that's like – there's only one place he can put it, right? If it's too far back, if it's too far to the left, it's an interception. If it's too far out, that's not the worst result, but you're throwing it out of bounds, and it's a wasted play. So that's an absolute NFL throw. Like, kudos to Garrett Nussmeier. First time I've ever seen him be able to do that. Big confidence booster. When that play happens, then LSU speeds to the like rushes to get the next play off, and Kirk Herbstreit was like, "Oh, I don't think they should want us to get the next play off. Like, they, you know, I think they're going to want, like, they should take their time because that might have been a touchdown." So then the refs blow the whistle to call off the next play to go to review, and the booth, the like commentators, Chris Fowler and Herbstreit are thinking, they're going to review it because they saw the same thing. Before you know it, they rule it not a catch. It's really weird that, you know, that to totally off, because usually, like, what we're seeing, or usually what, like, the commentators are seeing is closer to what the refs are seeing than what we're seeing, as far as, like, angles and replays and all that. Especially when they bring the rules guy on, and the rules guy is like, "Yeah, that's a touchdown." It makes no sense. Probably one of the most egregious calls I've seen in years.
Yeah, I about jumped out of my seat when that happened. LSU did have a few pretty favorable pass interference calls on Clemson. So, although most of those were warranted as well, I know some Clemson fans were upset about a little bit of that. So maybe it balanced out. But yeah, that really would have kind of juiced us up and stretched the lead out into a pretty safe space. But you were talking about Nussmeier. I mean, he quietly had a really nice night. It wasn't eye-popping statistics-wise, 230 yards, but he was managing the game, started to get into a rhythm a lot more kind of the second and third quarter after a bit of a slow start. And Aaron Anderson was really picking up the pace on the wide receiver spot with his yards after catch, kind of explosive, quick slant ability. Really seemed like that comfort check down that, I mean, he was probably 1A and 1B with Kyron Lacy last year, but yeah, now he's stepping into that real number one receiver role, so that was good to see. And Nussmeier, he took kind of one bad sack when he probably should have thrown it away. But other than that, pretty clean. He even picked up, I think, one or maybe two first downs on his feet. Yeah. And that was a point that we called out. Yeah, it's like he can run. He doesn't have to be Jaden Daniels, but just give us a little something. And he had that. So that was awesome. And then Caden Durham definitely flashed on the ground as well. We did look kind of like a one back type of position. They gave a few carries to Juwan Johnson and Caleb Jackson with pretty little effect. So if other teams can key in on Durham specifically, then we might have some struggles there, but he seemed to have real good vision and balance going forward and being able to balance out our attack with Nussmeier's arm.
And I, you know, the thing about it is that this should be a pass first team. Like our team is built on the passing game. All we need is a serviceable running back and be able to get a little push. I think that that we've almost buried the lead in this talk. Cause I mean, we're talking offense right now. I mean, huge credit to the offensive line. This was a cobbled together offensive line that we had a lot of questions about going into the season. That was probably our weakest. That and maybe our secondary, probably our two weakest parts of the game that we had the most question marks about. But I mean, I think as an overall unit, they looked improved compared to everybody else, right? Like, yeah. I would say even losing Will Campbell, losing Emory Jones to NFL talents, you know, first and third round picks respectively, I take this offensive line over last year's as far as protecting Nussmeier.
Sure. I mean, they had no communication issues. Everybody seemed on time, right? They weren't really bad with the penalties. We didn't really have hardly any penalties. I think the biggest issue offensively where the communication problems were was with the wide receivers. They didn't know where to go. Ness had to, like, change things at the line, or he was trying to change things, but they didn't know how to line up. And you could see at one point on the sideline, you know, after they had to call one of those silly timeouts because they didn't know what to do, you could see Kelly yelling at Cortez, basically saying, like, "What are you? Come on, you guys are killing me. Yeah. You're killing me." You saw that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He lit into Cortez when after that second touch, the second timeout was taken.
Yeah. They just didn't know what to do, I guess.
That part is unacceptable. I'm thankful for one that it happened in the first half and then it didn't hurt us really. Like, you know, like but last year those things had hurt us where it's like you take a timeout and then it comes back to haunt you later when you need clock. Mm-hmm. It worked out, but overall, I would say a very complete win. I mean, I'm switching over to the defense, but I mean, when's the last time we had a crucial pick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't even mentioned his name, but Mansoor Delane had a monster game in his LSU debut.
Mansoor Delane with a monster game.
Exactly.
Yeah. Monsieur Delane. I mean, I loved it. I mean, when's the last time we shit out a top five team in the second half? They scored 10 points. They could have had more too. I think they missed a field goal, but we shut them out in the second half. And I think LSU had overall 38 minutes of possession. Clemson only had 22. And I think they only ran like 50 plays. Dabo seemed dumbfounded about that. He's like, I didn't even realize that. They controlled the game. LSU did, even though the score doesn't show it. We did. I mean, we did have some empty trips, you know, but I think that'll get figured out. The fact that our offensive line is already a good working unit is just a complete surprise. The fact that the defense is really good is also a surprise. And they were aggressive early, right? Like you saw that that pressure coming in from the side with Woodland, got that sack. I mean, we didn't give up any home run plays, which I'm completely ecstatic about. And I don't know, it just, I mean, we gave up some long gains here and there, but in the, you know, overall, big picture, that's acceptable because we didn't give up all these huge touchdown plays like we have in the last few years. And I don't know, just thinking back of our personnel, I don't think Whit Weeks is bothered at all by his injury from last year. He looks the same as he did as last year, maybe just more invigorated, you know, like you could hear him yelling. And Harold Perkins kind of looks like the Harold Perkins from freshman year. Like, could you imagine if we had both of those guys healthy the whole year, what that could look like.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Shout out to Whit Weeks. Great game. I think he's clearly the best player on that defense. And then shout out to Harold Perkins for a big bounce back after what we talked about as a disappointing year last year. I will say I'm still a little bit skeptical. It's not the right word. But I think that I'm interested to see, you know, continue to see how Blake Baker utilizes him and gets him in more of the action. But last play of the game, he's the one who comes away with the game, you know, ending tackle. So very exciting to see that. And you know, in order for LSU to have a very successful year, I think that that we have to have production out of seven. Mm-hmm. And like we got it against Clemson. I think there's more ceiling. I don't think he had the best game he's, you know, capable of, but I think that if that's the base level that we see from Harold Perkins this year, we're going to be solid on defense.
Yeah, and the commentators called it out during the broadcast, but his job was basically just spy on Kolodnik, keep an eye on the quarterback, don't let him scramble, and he did his job for the most part. He got home with one sack, didn't have a huge stat sheet, but definitely his presence was felt. And then the same can be said for like our edge rushers, including some new guys like Jack Pyburn and Patrick Payton. They didn't really get home too many times on the sack total, but Klubnik wasn't really able to scramble and use his legs very much. He had one kind of dash where he juked like West Weeks out of his shoes. But overall, we kept him contained, put pressure on the offensive line and forced Clemson to make quick decisions that often led to very minimal gains, if anything. So a decent game plan, and hopefully they can kind of sharpen their tool set and bring down the quarterback some more in the future, especially not to look too far ahead, but another dynamic guy in DJ Lagaway coming up in 2 weeks when we take on Florida.
Right. And real quickly, I'd mentioned personnel a minute ago. LSU did have to play the first half without who we thought was going to be our starting safety, Halsey. And I don't know, it's like LSU figured it out or found out. LSU was notified 2 days before by the NCAA. And this is just like, what? Oh, yeah. So he got in a fight at the end of last year, so he can't play the first half. Sorry, I thought somebody told you. No, nobody know. apparently, they notified Houston, but, like, what does Houston care? Like, yeah, okay, whatever. He's not going to play first half. Not our problem, you know? But I am kind of amiss by the fact that with all these people, like, you know, that we've added now, all these support staff, these analysts, all this, nobody saw that coming. Nobody had that figured. Like, nobody knew, really?
Well, I wonder if it was more of like they knew, but it was kind of like, well, nobody said anything yet, that kind of thing.
Don't ask.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. I just thought what Brian Kelly said about it made it seem like he didn't know, unless he's like really in on the bit too, in which case I think he sold it great. Otherwise, he seems surprised by it. He's like, well, I mean, we can't do anything. We, you know, it's, you know, can't cry over spilled milk. But the rumor was that Clemson was the one that kind of notified the NCAA. It was like, hey, you know, and just kind of hinted towards it. Hey, is this wasn't this the same guy that got ejected? So does – I mean, I guess he's sitting out the first half, right? I mean, LSU knows this, right? And it's funny. He made his presence almost felt immediately. I don't know. He came in the second half. They didn't score any points. So there you go. And I don't know, speaking, you know, as far as Clemson's side, I don't think they had any real bad injuries beforehand. There was like some guy that got suspended, but he wasn't even a starter before, you know, from last week, but they lost one of their receivers, like in the first drive, right? Like in the opening series.
Yep. Antonio Williams.
Yeah, so I think like maybe they were kind of missing some star power to do what they wanted to do, but I don't know. I don't want to say karma, but just careful what you ask for, you know. Anyway, but that was interesting. But I think the second half we got to see what our defense really could be, and it was a shutout. Like you said, the edge guys looked good. They didn't really show up in the stat sheet, but their presence was definitely felt. It allowed Weeks and Perkins and all of our defensive backs to kind of make some plays, which is great. I don't know. As far as special teams goes, I mean, we did okay. We hit a really long field goal, and then we missed one, shanked it badly even, but no real mistakes. I mean, I don't know if we're ever really going to get any stats on kickoffs again because all of them are touchbacks. It's either a complete –
They've basically eliminated that part of the game.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, I mean, as far as punts, there's no bad
there was a, pretty you know, for 2025 college football, I thought there was a pretty, you know, good return. I just don't think that, again, I don't know why, but this, you know, this game is just not as electric in the punt game, in the punt return game. But I forget, I mean, there was you know, Xavier Thomas had like a maybe 15-yard, 25-yard return that was a little electric. I enjoyed watching. Gave us some good field position.
Yeah. And they did some handoffs to him in the backfield trying to get something going, like some sweeps and stuff.
I thought that was a really interesting wrinkle. I like that too.
Like I said,
the other thing, Sloan, what about the
– eventually opened it up.
Oh, yeah. And what about the reverse pass?
Oh, yeah.
Xavier Thomas throwing a pass.
I think they really missed an opportunity. If Juwan Johnson is going to play running back and be a, you know, pretty utilized, you know, player, because he was in there, you know, I would say almost like, what, 30% of the time, maybe 40% of the time. You got to do a reverse pass with him. The guy who was quarterback on your depth chart 3 weeks ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, and for the people who don't know, the listeners, Juwan Johnson's the Louisiana all-time leader in high school yards as a dual threat quarterback. Like, had like 5,000 passing yards and like 4,000 rushing yards or something. So he can do it all.
And he was number 8 on your you know, score sheet. Played running back for a good amount during the Clemson game. Mm-hmm. I do want to mention, we saw a little bit of Harlan Berry. Particularly in the screen game. I thought our screen game looked really good. You know, he didn't really have anything of note, but we did see some of the true freshman, highly touted running back. Kind of want to see, I think looking forward to like this next week against Louisiana Tech, might see some more incorporation of players like him, just to kind of get their feet wet and continue to get experience at the you know, collegiate level.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine we'll probably see some other backups, like our backup quarterback too. I imagine they'll go with Van Buren first. But yeah, I was going to mention you said we have La Tech coming up this weekend. Then after that, it's Florida. Actually, LSU has 3 home games now. We have La Tech in Florida, and then Southeast Louisiana. But 2 of those teams have already played. La Tech took out CLU this past week, and I think it was like 24-0 or something. So. We're facing both of those teams though. La Tech coming in, I don't know. I didn't really have any thoughts on that quite yet. I mean, it's just one of those games where we could talk about game plans and stuff, but I mean, it just beat them, right? That's all that matters.
Go out there and take care of business. You know, if you go and impose your will on them, you should win easily. The line right now is somewhere between 37 and 38. From my experience on these kind of games, I feel like you take Tech with the points if you're a betting man, just because LSU has a tendency, at least over, you know, the past what, 20 years that I've been watching LSU football, a tendency to let these teams kind of hang in there a little bit. But I think LSU should win by 30, right?
Right. I mean, it's a Saturday night game in Death Valley starting 6:30 p.m. It will be a little bit hotter, about 90 degrees possibly at kickoff. But, I mean, it's Louisiana Tech. They're not the cupcakiest of cupcakes. They have some decent players and a lot of guys who probably grew up dreaming of going to LSU but then ended up at Louisiana Tech. So there's always a little chip in their fight. So LSU can maybe mess around with them for a little while, but the talent difference should be enough, and we should win big. Hopefully, we scored 17 against Clemson. Hopefully we can test out a few more pages out of Joe Sloan's playbook and put up a few more digits on the scoreboard here. So yeah, I'm hoping for a big win, something like 38-10. I mean, everybody would be happy with just a nice solid win, no big mistakes, and move on to Florida.
Mm-hmm. Which is also a 6:30 Central kickoff, which I think also is Southeast Louisiana. So legislation matters, folks. Get out there and vote. But I don't know, a lot going on with LSU week one. Handle business. We can hop on the hype train, and we'll let the pundits talk about that, because they're all still just so woeful because, you know, they thought Arch Manning was just going to, I don't know, light the world on fire. It was going to be – we thought it was going to be a bigger game than it was. I mean, it was, I guess, kind of like our game, like I mentioned earlier, although Ohio State clearly had more of the home field advantage, or at least they played like it. Their defense is really good. They limited in Texas, although I think it's just too much too soon for Arch. Not that he can't do it, but all this hype and expectations, but – man, it seemed like neither one of those teams wanted to open it up downfield early on either. They did not want to put their starters in bad situations, you know, like taking picks early, anything like that. So pretty conservative play calling for the big noon kickoff. I know you guys can talk about that, but obviously plenty of other games to go to. I guess the day started out right with Lee Corso getting a nice send-off there, a very good tribute both at Ohio State and just, you know, on the program in general. You know, they spelled his name on the field with the band. Like you, Tommy, maybe he could have dotted the I or something, but I don't know. Anyway, it was great send-off, and Corso had some really good picks. I mean, he picked FSU over Alabama.
He went perfect on the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just they're letting him go at the right time where he could be this like swami, you know, but I mean, he picked Ohio State too, which he was his very first pick, interestingly enough. But it was one other pick that I thought was very interesting. I mean, he did pick LSU to win the game, but he also picked him to win the national title.
He did.
What?
Interesting.
Okay. No pressure, guys, but he picked you on the way out. So
do it for Corso.
Yeah, just baby.
They got to put that, like, that needs to be like a helmet sticker, like on the back. Like, you know, they were honoring Katrina last weekend. They need to put like a head, Corso's head.
Yep.
No, I think overall, great weekend on the Ohio State Texas game. I mean, Arch didn't come out and light the world on fire. He didn't look like, you know, the next coming of like Tim Tebow or anything like that. I will say, I think his second half looked very good. I think he settled in a little bit better. Twitter was all over him, and you know, he's like, is he actually related to the Mannings? Overrated. He's never played any, you know, competition. There was a lot of talk about him coming from Newman, which is a 2A high school in New Orleans. I think there's some validity to that in that, you know, Newman is he's not playing against day one SEC starters in the same way that you are, you know, when you play at like another school in New Orleans, like a Rummel or a Carr, or, you know, take your pick. That said, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback. He might not be the best quarterback ever to play at Texas. He might not win the Heisman, but I think he'll be a very good quarterback for them. I think that people forget, but he moved the ball down the field pretty well for them in that first half. They just, and they were down to like the 1 yard line in two drives and just came away with no points. I don't necessarily put that all on him. I think that overall, I mean, he gave them a chance to win, you know, drove them down the field, scored in the second half, and had a chance to win. I think Ohio State's defense did show its teeth a little bit. Overall, I don't think that this will be the last time, last time we see Texas on the big stage, but disappointing win for them nonetheless.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch the Texas Ohio State game. I was busy moving, actually. I made it in time for LSU. But yeah, I guess the big storylines there, Ohio State looking like a solid team coming off of last year's national championship. Probably going to be number one in tomorrow's AP poll, which might have LSU top five, potentially. That'd be pretty cool. And then
three, maybe?
Yeah, who knows? We had probably the second biggest win after them. And then in the afternoon game, Florida State and Tallahassee taking care of Alabama, not just like a squeaker, but a pretty solid win. Tommy Castellanos looking good at the quarterback position, out-coached, out-hustled, out-muscled pretty much across the board. So not your Saban's Bama, it seems, potentially, without too much of an overreaction. So that was pretty crazy. And then another pretty good game last night between Notre Dame and Miami in the Sunday night game with the rain coming down at the Hard Rock Stadium. The Miami students actually showing up for once, making like the hour-long drive to the stadium from the campus. I wasn't able to go in South Florida, but looked like a good environment, and they handled the runner-ups in Notre Dame in a close one. Carson Beck transferring from Georgia and actually had a pretty good game for Miami. So maybe the Canes are for real. They're preseason darlings every year, and maybe they're actually legit. So we'll see. But four top 10 teams losing is quite a few. Thankfully, LSU is not among them, and we'll benefit that from that in the rankings going forward. So not as heavy of a slate going into week two. I think there's only like one ranked matchup between Oklahoma and Michigan, which is where College Game Day is going. I guess a bit of a warmer upper for the rest of the season.
No, I think you're right. And also just shout out to LSU transfer CJ Daniels for that catch last night. Very, very fun, you know, almost Odell Beckham-esque catch for a touchdown against Notre Dame. I will say, I think Notre Dame was impressive too. I thought that going into this year, I was a little bit questionable about what their quarterback's play would look like, especially after losing Riley Leonard, who had a great year for him last year. But what is it? CJ Carr, their new guy. He looks pretty good. I liked what I saw out of them. Really liked that running back. And I just like a lot of what Marcus Freeman has done with that program. So, yeah, good matchup there. On the Bama, game, I don't know how you could spin that one if you're an Alabama person. I mean, just in a kind of an embarrassing loss for them. Ty Simpson didn't look great. Ryan Williams, you know, I'll steal a line from us that I heard last night on the Miami game, but it seemed like he was in the witness protection program, completely unnoticed. Was going into this year was arguably the best player returning in college football. It was really between him, Jeremiah Smith in Ohio State, and then Caleb Downs also in Ohio State on the other side of the ball. I think that Alabama has a lot of questions they need to answer, and from our perspective, I mean, that really changes, I think, the calculus for our season. I plugged in for our, you know, long-term listeners, you know, we've got this model that I've put together and plugged in our, you know, results along with the rest of the results from week one. And we have been upgraded. So if you remember, our the model had us at 9-3. We have been upgraded to 11-1 projection with the toss up games where we you know, ripe for losses being Oklahoma and Ole Miss. So interesting to see there, both on the road. I think at a line now. I mean, I picked this to be 11-1, but with a loss to Clemson, so I'm already kind of somewhat busted there. But
well, we could have the inverse. We could win the Clemson game and then lose 11 straight games to end the season.
That would make
That's actually true too.
That would make us FSU, who looked great. Everyone's doing it with different transfers, right? I mean, it did help that they brought in Gus Malzahn, but Alabama just does not look like they have that same just swagger. They don't have that.
They don't have that killer instinct.
No, they don't have that.
I'm sure y'all have seen it—the play being like shown around on Twitter. 18, jogging. I mean, that would never happen on a Saban team.
Saban would have noticed that out of his peripheral vision and yanked that guy off the field immediately.
It would have said yanked his jersey off. go figure it out. You're not riding home on the bus tonight.
So I think that snapped there. What, they had 22 straight openers. That's gone. SEC overall did okay. I mean, we know Texas lost, but other than that, we had eight other wins. 8-2 as a conference. Now, I would say a couple other games. Well, I mean, it wasn't that big of a game. It was the Beamer Bowl. South Carolina played Virginia Tech, but for what Arch didn't show in his first game, Lenoris Sellers definitely did. I mean, the guy looked really good. I remember saying something when they named him like a preseason, you know, the SEC quarterback number one. I'm like, what? But I mean, the guy looked the part last night. So LSU's going to have their hands full when they face him or them. Yes. But at least it's at home.
No, I think you're right there. I mean, going off of week one, Florida looks good, but it's at home. South Carolina looks good, but it's at home. Alabama, you know, that was a game that we were looking at as it's on the road. It's going to be a tough environment, tough team. Well, that game looks better for us. I think that Oklahoma with John Mateer, you know, he had a good year, a good game. It's kind of being looked at as a Heisman hopeful, especially after, you know, after kind of a week one. Let's see what he does against Michigan. They might take their first loss there. I think that'll be an interesting one to watch. And that's one that it's crazy that we're already looking at the last game of the season, but we do play Oklahoma last in the season. And I think that as LSU continues to build a case for the college football playoff, and that, you know, week one win against Clemson is a good starting point. I'm looking at Oklahoma, especially with the model telling me that that's going to be a swing game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Long season ahead though. I'm going to take it one week at a time and enjoy it while it lasts. Cause the season that we always say, like, how's it already over, by the end. So, hopefully we can get 2-0 here and keep on rolling.
Sure. Yep. I don't know. Do you have any score? You said, I think LSU is favored by 30 something. I don't know.
I'm going to go like 42-17. I don't think we cover. I think we win handily, but I think Tech's going to be able to kind of, it's just, I don't know. It's just kind of my historic feeling on LSU playing these games. It's like the third, you know, the between like the end of the second quarter and third quarter, it feels like we kind of lose a little bit of focus and let maybe one or two big plays go by.
Mm-hmm. I said 38-10 earlier. I'll stick with that. Oh, we're talking about Alabama, by the way. Next week they play Louisiana Monroe, the famed ULM, the team that took them down pre-Saban era. Could it happen again? That would be kind of crazy. I doubt it, but you never know.
Yeah,
ULM had a big win against, a really no-name team, I think, on Thursday night to start off the college football season. I was in Monroe this past weekend. A lot of excitement. On their, I think they, you know, with their program heading to Tuscaloosa, a tough test, but could it happen? Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah, okay. I'll give LSU 45, Louisiana Tech 13.
And how long do we think? How long do you think we get to see Nussmeier?
I think he goes probably three quarters, and then they put somebody in for the fourth.
You think that he puts in Martin Van Buren?
Yeah, well, one thing to watch though is, I mean, with former president, with Cade Klubnik having a bit of a rough game against LSU, obviously other guys had good games, but Nussmeier is still one of the Heisman front runners at this point. He didn't have an amazing game, but a good one, and so it's very forward looking. But if they're trying to build a big Heisman campaign for him, and we called out like him trying to touch these record books in LSU, I don't know if they try and help him pad the stats a little bit against some of these small guys and not pull them unless they have to, or unless, I mean, it could be up to him if he says, put me in, coach, or I'm ready to sit, who knows, but just to mention that.
Imagine Nussmeier being like, nah, coach, I don't want to play.
I'm done. No, I'd say probably, yeah, after the first or second drive in the third quarter, depending what the score is, they'll probably sit him, because if he's at like 250, 300 yards, and he's got a couple touchdowns, no picks. Yeah, I mean, what's there going to They're not going to prove anything more. Yeah, I guess you could pad stats, but that's also, you know, that can be slightly risky. I'd say get your backup ready too, just in case. I think that was pretty much it. Unless you guys had anything else, I mean, we'll definitely follow up next week with the results from La Tech and all the other games. But any final thoughts?
No. Feels good to get a win. Hopefully, we keep that feeling going.
Man, final thoughts. Just feels good to have. You know, it's the best time of the year. Like, college football season is the best time of the year. It's back. We have I'm very excited. I haven't felt like this about an LSU team in a very long time. For me, it even feels like the Jaden Daniels Heisman year. It's almost like lost years where I'm like, well, I mean, that was cool. I'm glad it happened. Like, you know, it was fun to watch, but it just didn't feel like LSU football. This starting to, I hope it's not just a tease, but it feels like a little bit of a return to the LSU football we've you know, grown to love over the past really 25 years.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that centers on just how improved the defense looked.
Yes. No, it absolutely is. I mean, I remember Kirk Herbstreit talking about LSU and I want to say it was 2020 or 2021. And he was just like, LSU defense used to mean something. Right. And it hasn't for years. And I mean, we love the 2019 team. It's arguably, and I think it is, the best college football team ever to play. But even that defense was not the LSU defense that we're talking about. I mean, I think when was the last time we really had an elite LSU defense? The 2018 LSU defense with Devin White as the cornerstone was very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think back to one of those defenses with Tre'Davious White, maybe there, but
or maybe there was the 2011 and then also that next year, 2012.
Well, yeah.
But it, I mean, there was –
The 2011 defense might be the best college football defense ever to play.
Sure.
But you know what I'm talking about. Like the 2010s is like really the hallmark of LSU defenses, I think.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just cranking out NFL talent. Speaking of which, there is one game left. I'm begrudgingly going to watch it, even though it's not starting until 8 o'clock on a school night, but whatever. I mean, a lot of stars there, a lot of people showing up for Belichick's inaugural game as a college coach. And I don't know, they're talking about, wow, look what Matt Patricia could do, gaming against college QBs. I wonder what Belichick's team could look like. Just, you know, it seems like they're downshifting to coach in the college ranks. But I don't know. It's also different level players, different mentalities too. I feel like the college guys would probably listen to him more, probably soak up more, but I don't know. Do you got any predictions of like what it might look like tonight? I mean, it's for as much as you follow Tar Heel football.
It's tough to say. UNC football has been a little bit of a disappointment over the past couple of years. You know, like they had one of the number one recruits in the nation, that cornerback. I forget his name. I mean, he kind of was a bust, but it was a huge deal when Mac Brown pulled him. You don't remember what I'm talking about, Daniel?
Yeah. I know Tony something. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it Tony Jackson or something like that? Anyways. But, overall, you know, there was a lot of talk of, oh, is UNC back? Or, well, I don't even know if they've ever been there, but is UNC, you know, here to play, with Belichick coming back. I'm not too high on them, but TCU had such a, you know, had a disappointing year last year. And I don't know too much about, their improvement. It's not like they made huge portal plays. I would give the edge to UNC strictly just because it's at their place, but I'm anxious to watch it. The one thing to watch out for is Sonny Dykes always has something, feels like he always has something up his sleeve for TCU. So, you know, could watch something. I mean, could be something to watch there.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, I think that'll pretty much do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Tune in next week We'll have the recap of the La Tech game, as well as all these other games that we've mentioned kind of this week. And of course, you know, the Oklahoma Michigan is probably the biggest one, or the only biggest one out there, but we'll have all that for you. So until then, hope everyone has a good week, a shortened week. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Ticks.